Blessing. Brother Varner, he said that he's not a scholar, but the truth is he is one of the smartest men that I know. But there's a childlike joy in his expression, isn't there, about the things of God? And you think there in Matthew chapter 18, the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest, and Jesus set a little one in their midst and said, you have to have a childlike faith like this little one if you're going to have a home in heaven someday. And Brother Varner, boy, he loves the Lord. And again, he's one of the smartest people that I know. But some people fancy themselves too smart for the things of God. And we do have some smart people down here, but none of us hold a candle to him. Anybody with real wisdom would say, there's some things I know, and it's only because he allows me to know them, and he's the one that's all truth, and he's wonderful. And if they go on and on about him instead of how smart we are, that's someone you want to get to know. We're talking about, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So you want to find some wise men. And Brother Varner, he's someone that's just excited about God. He's one of those wise men. You want to find people that are wise men and wise ladies that are humble before God and excited about the things of God, and make them your companions in this life, your friends. And you say, those religious people, I don't feel comfortable. We'll figure out a way to get comfortable around the ones that are truly wise. Spend time with them. Make them your, because the Bible says there's a payoff. And so there in Proverbs 13, verse 20, again our text, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. We started talking about that last week, and we'll try to get to the end of those thoughts today. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll do a bit of review and then try to finalize some of these things. But walking with wise men, part two. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Oh, please meet with us. Even as Brother Varner said, you're omnipresent, Lord. You're everywhere. And I pray that you'd be in this room in an especially special way, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts and showing us very clearly the things that we ought to be changing, things from your word that we need to be more careful about, and maybe even things we need to say, oh God, I'm sorry, I haven't been doing what I should in this regard. Thank you for showing me from your word things that I need to change. Please meet with us this morning. And Lord, there's precious younger ones in the other building, Lord, in the junior church. I pray that you'd meet with them as well. Get a hold of those young hearts and be with those teachers. And I pray that on these grounds, Lord, you'd be honored and glorified, lifted up, worshiped and adored. And I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So last week we started talking about three things. We got through about half of the thoughts, but we gave some preliminary assertions. And again, sorry about that, some fancy words there. But some opening statements, some assertions, some statements we can say. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men, well, it stands to reason. Maybe there's some wise men out there to locate and walk with. So that's our first statement. Who are these wise men? How do I identify them? And then the other one is, but the companion of fools. Who are there foolish people out there that I should be careful how much influence I'm allowing for them to have on my life? And so who are these foolish people? Some preliminary assertions. And then some proper associations. God says, be careful. Since there are various types of people out there, make sure you identify with the ones you need to be spending time with. He that walketh with, find those wise men, walk with them. And those, by the way, there's wise women as well, good women who love the Lord. And ladies, learn from those wonderful ladies as well. And even us guys, sometimes I know there's some wonderful ladies I can learn a whole lot from. Proper associations and then powerful alterations is the last thing. The Bible says that when you walk with wise men, you are altered. There's some powerful alterations. When you walk with wise people, it rubs off on you. But when you walk with foolish, when you make the foolish person your companion, that rubs off on you as well. So powerful alterations. So again, just a little bit of review. Preliminary assertions. So there are fools out there. It's good to identify who these foolish people are and say, I can't let that person be my companion in this life. And Proverbs speaks of four different types of fools. The kasil, fool, one that's slow or dull. One that lets their body have whatever it craves. I remember Jiminy Cricket, he said, let your conscience be your guide. And well, this person would come along and he would say, let your cravings be your guide. Let your cravings be your guide. And there's a foolishness there. Even the wise King Solomon, he set aside his wisdom for a time in his life and he became foolish like this. Ecclesiastes 2:10, he said, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. Anything I wanted, I pursued. And there was a foolishness there. A person in your life that would lead you to think that that's the way life should be. Oh, stay away from that line of thinking. By the way, that type of fool is the one that's in our text. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Even worse than that is the Evi'il fool, one that deliberately goes against what God wants in his word. He's the one that has a scornfulness built into him where, well, if God wants it, I'm against it. I'm going to show that the alternative or the opposite is even better. I live to prove God wrong. There's a foolishness there. That type of fool is spoken of in Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So it's like, hey, that's not right. And they'll say, the way I look at it is just fine. And the way I see things is how I live my life. There's a foolishness there. And if that's your close friend, you're going to have to say, listen, that's not right. And see how they respond. And there's going to need to be some separation there. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. This type of fool also despises correction. This type of fool is in Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. Boy, if you're a close friend, if you get together, the things you have in common is you get together and complain about your parents or complain about the good authority in your life, that's a harmful friendship that you have. And by the way, these truths are not just for children. They're for adults as well. Nabal is that third type of foolishness, and then there's a Pethahi, who's naive and gullible. And again, we'll talk about. I should completely stay away from certain. No, we do interact with people in this world and go and try to be kind to them and ask them, encourage them to consider Christ. We're talking about those that are our close companions. We need to be concerned about who they are because they will affect us. There are wise people out there. Who are these wise people? Again, James chapter 3, verse 13, he said, who is a wise man? And you're like, yes, that's what I want to know because the Bible says I need to find them and walk with them, spend more time around them. I want to be wise. And the Bible says I can have some of that wisdom by walking with wise men. James 3 says, who is a wise man? And then it says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And then it talks about a wisdom that only comes from heaven, a wisdom that comes down from knowing God and spending time with God. He says in verse 17, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I can say that Brother Varner was up here, and he's tapped into something special. He knows God and loves him and humbly craves a wisdom that only God can give from above through his word. He's one of those guys you want to make one of your close friends. And by the way, if you lack wisdom, James also says in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. The wise man is the one that humbly admits, I am in need of wisdom. I'm going to spend time asking God to give it to me because I need what he has. That's a wise person. That's the person you want to walk with in this life. So then when you know what you're supposed to do, you should do it. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The wise person is the person that comes to church and says, I want to listen to what God wants and I want to change my life and order my life around the truths of his word. I want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. That's one of those wise people. Solomon said in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom begins with a reverential awe of who God is. Boy, that's a wise person. And if it's the beginning of wisdom, if there's no beginning, if there's no fear of God, then there's no beginning of wisdom. And if there's no beginning of wisdom, there's no middle or end. The wise person you want to walk with is one that has that reverential awe of God. The wise person is one who lives with that reverential awe and orders his life around those things that matter to him as laid out in his precious word. So that was preliminary assertions. There's wise people out there. There's foolish people out there. I need to learn how to identify them according to this measuring stick right here. Second thing is the proper associations. Since there are different types of people out there, I need to be careful who my close friends are. Proverbs 24, verse 1 says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. And the reason why the Bible tells us that is because we're going to be interested. There's something about, I envy what that person has, and I want to run with that. There's going to be a part of us that wants to run with that crowd to be considered cool or whatever the contemporary expression is. Proper associations. By the way, the qualifications of the pastor, and if it's good for the pastor, it's not a bad thing for the rest of the church to try to shoot for those things. The qualifications of the pastor, one of them comes from Titus 1:8, and it said he's a lover of good men. He's a lover of good men. When you're looking for a pastor, you should say, that guy loves to be around solid Christian men, and solid Christian men like to be around him. He's a lover of good men. And if that's a qualification for the pastor, it should be true of anyone else in the church. A lover of good men. Yes, the pastor is going to spend time going out with the ungodly and try to get them to consider Christ. After all, that's what Jesus did, didn't he, while he was on this earth? He was a friend to sinners. He was kind to the ungodly. He was kind to the sinner. And I sure am glad because I am one of them that needed him. A sinner that he showed kindness and mercy to, how I could be saved. But he never hung out in their places of sin. The world saw that Christ had a compassion for sinners. There in Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners because he showed compassion to them. The publican, we remember Luke 19 was Zacchaeus when he came along. And again, Jesus didn't adjust to the sinner. He compassionately showed the sinner how to adjust to him through salvation. Let me say that again. Jesus never adjusted his life to the sinner. He showed the sinner how much he loved the sinner and showed him how he could be cleansed and adjust his life to the very Son of God in love. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, the greatest of all friends is the Lord Jesus. So this qualification of the pastor, a lover of good men, what would it take to be a good man? Who are these good men? Well, Psalm 37 describes a good man as one who lets God order his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You say, I'm looking for who I should, he that walketh with wise men. Well, a wise man or a good man is one that lets God order his steps. Do you know somebody who seeks for God to order his steps? That's a person you want to make one of your friends. Are the steps of your friends ordered by the Lord? Are your friends interested in how God is leading, or do they want things their own way? Good men want God to order their steps, and they will listen to the Lord and to the people he's placed in their lives to guide them. Wise men walk with God. Walk with men or women who walk with God. Genesis 5:24 said, Enoch walked with God. Do you have any Enochs around you? There are people who walk with God, and I'm not all that comfortable being around them. Well, ask God to show you how to get comfortable, because those are wise men. Those are wise women. And he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Matthew 12:35 also says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. A good man has his heart right with God. And somewhere inside, good things come forth. And there's something worth listening to. Boy, down here on this earth, talk is cheap. But there are some people that are tuned into the things of God. And when they open their mouth, those are things worth hearing. Oh my, and that's the person you want to be around. Acts 11:24 says, he, Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Do you know someone that's spirit-led and full of faith? They're obedient to the things of God. That's someone you want to walk with. Demetrius was another there in 3 John 1, verses 11 through 12. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Who are the Barnabases? Who are the Demetriuses in your life? Oh, walk with wise men. Just a reminder, the book of Psalms, that the largest book in the Bible, starts with a reminder to watch your associations. He says this in Psalm 1, the very beginning, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But... instead of walking with those that don't have much use for God, instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So some preliminary assertions. There are wise people out there. There are foolish people out there. I need to know the difference. Proper associations, once you know the difference, don't make that foolish person your companion in this life. Find that wise person, walk with them. And then the last thing that we'll look at today is this last thing, powerful alterations. Who you hang out with will affect you. The one who walks with wise men will be wise, and the companion of fools will be destroyed, the Bible says. There are foolish people out there. We do want to be used of God to encourage them to consider Christ, and that means we have to interact, right? You want to go out there and knock on doors. I don't know who's behind that door. What if it's a person that's got some foolishness? There's a good chance. Go out there, talk to folks, encourage them to consider Christ. Encourage them to set aside that foolishness and turn to God and learn to be a wise man. The Bible teaches us the foolish person should not be our companion. We'll look at that word companion in just a little bit. Those who want to be wise or grow in wisdom will surround themselves with people who are wise. It has an effect. You learn so much from listening to wise people, but it seems like you learn a ton from just watching wise people in your life. How do they treat people? How do they handle problems? Sometimes just walking with the wise person, it's less what you hear them say and the life you watch them live. It's a spirit that is caught sometimes more than taught. Think about someone in your life. You go, boy, that person's the most gracious person that I know. Why? Is it because things that they've said or the life you've watched them live? Powerful alterations. The people we choose to be our friends or companions will affect us, either for better or for worse. The character and nature of those with whom we fellowship says something about us. It shapes and molds who we are. Yes, we should strive to be a positive influence and role model to others, but we would be very foolish to spend great amounts of time with people of bad influence and not expect them to impact our lives and our character. Who is affecting whom? Well, I know also that sometimes you say, but I'm just built different. My heart goes out to the underdog. I find that person, my heart goes out to the underdog. That's why I spend so much time with them. And that's a good quality to find somebody that's going through some rough times. But be careful. Be careful of monitor that thinking. Why does your heart go out to the underdog? What are you hoping to accomplish? Sometimes that underdog is a person that's living in opposition to right things. And the Bible says the real friend, the Bible says, Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And beware, that underdog may have been, the real friend might have been the one who came on and said, hey, that's not right. And they go over to lick their wounds off in the corner, and that's when you show up. The real friend was the one that said, that's not right. And and you show up and say, hey, I'm sorry that they're getting after you. I understand. I'll be there for you. I'll be the supportive. And you stand you stand contrary to the real friend, the one that had the faithful wounds. The one that said, listen, that's not pleasing to him. And you've got to change that or God won't bless you. And that person that, I don't care for them either. Let's get together. My heart goes up. I don't walk with the wise men. I consider myself to be the wise men. To come over and, you got to be careful. And when that's you, when a faithful friend said, listen, this isn't right in your life. And sometimes none of us like to be corrected. None of us. None of us. And you go over to lick your wounds. How dare they? How dare they? And somebody comes along and says, hey, I'll support you over here. Thank you. Are they that real friend? Or are they bringing a support to encourage you to stand against the actual friend that's pointing you toward the things of God? Beware that spirit where you have justification for not walking with wise men. Oh, my heart goes, yes, be an encouragement to the underdog. But don't stand into, hey, I'll be an encouragement that your mom and dad won't be to you. Your pastor won't be to you. Your youth pastor won't be to you. Oh, they don't understand you and I do. God gives them faithful friends. And make sure you're not standing against those wounds that the real friend has come alongside to give them. Yes, come over and spend time. Yes, and pray, but steer them back toward the authority God has placed in their life. Powerful alterations. The Bible says that we're affected by those around us. Even the world says, you will be the same in 5 years as you are now, except for the books you read and the people you meet and associate with. Attitudes are affected, mannerisms, speech patterns, philosophies, all are transferred through our associations. And we say, the books we read, who reads books anymore, right? The videos you watch, the social media, what do they call them? Influencers. They call them social media influencers. Now, why does the world see them as influencers? Well, I just, no, you be careful who, if they're an influencer, if you give them a big chunk of your life, they're influencing you. Beware of those things. Powerful alterations. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Companion, ra'ah, actually has the idea of tending or feeding or pasturing like a flock. Companion, the word here is like a shepherding, a flock. You feed off of who you hang around. You feed off, just like a shepherd directs and guides and leads the sheep to certain feeding grounds. All right? He controls what they eat and where they go. The wrong type of friend, you give over direction like that to them. And there's a tending of your life. They're controlling and directing and even feeding you and shaping you. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. Who you run around with will teach you to be like them. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Parents, how many of us have seen our kids overreact to something? Like, of course. Of course, there was, well, yeah, of course. Of course my day would go like this. Of course. You're like, hey, settle down. Calm down. What in the world? And then it hits you. Oh, they've seen dad. They've seen dad overreact to weird things. Yeah, of course. Yeah. If something can go wrong, it's gonna. Our kids are so affected by us, aren't they? We affect the people that are around us. Boy, with our children, what children see their parents do in moderation, they'll do in excess. And why isn't it true of the good things, right? The bad things, boy, they'll take off. It's like weeds in the garden, right? You have to work so hard to get the good plants to grow. And boy, weeds, they just, and our children pick up on our bad habits so easily. And it takes so much work to try to pass along something good. But boy, it's a good, boy, we affect people around us so much. People feed off of those that they are around, just as a shepherd turns and directs and feeds and shapes his flock. So foolish people influence those with whom they associate. People can bring great harm to themselves by being the companion of fools. What did the Bible say? The companion of fools will be destroyed. Boy, powerful alterations. There's no neutral parties when it comes to influence. Are you spending time with wise people or foolish people? You say, but the foolish people, they know how to party. They're the fun ones. The religious people, they seem to be so stoic. You know, and they're, I'm not sure what I'm against. I'm just looking for someone to smile. And whatever made them smile, I'm against it. You know, let me just, that person smiled. So whatever brought a joy to them, I'm against it. That's, you know, but that's not true. Believers smile. We just learn how to smile for the right reason. Boy, the prodigal son, he couldn't wait to get out there and have that riotous living. But it came, it proved itself so empty so fast, didn't it? What, you remember when you were a kid and you eat one Snicker bar? Like, that was so good. I would like to just eat five more. And mom says, you're not eating six Snicker bars. You're like, someday when I don't have you, you know, limiting. And you're not my friend. I want people that will just, instead of limit me, let me have whatever I want. Oh, you should, whatever. Yeah, you're not my friend. Someday I'm going to get away and I'll eat all the Snicker bars I want. Mrs. Brader was talking about when she was young, and they would mix the cake mix, right? And you just want to take a little, eat a little bit of it, and it's like someday when I'm on my, I'm going to make a whole cake mix and just eat the whole batter, the entire thing myself. And she says it's wonderful where, you know, a lot of times you come to your senses before, by the time you can eat an entire bowl of cake mix, you're like, you know what, I've changed my mind. this isn't the purpose of life, you know, to bring ultimate fulfillment. But again, how silly is it to be like, that's not my friend that would limit me. The real friend is the one that would let me, encourage me to do whatever I want. Oh, we have it backwards so many times. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That word communication comes from the Greek homilia, which means companionship. Evil companionship. That goes right back to our word right here. The companion of fools. Evil communications. Evil companionship corrupts good manners. I think we've all heard that illustration, right? You got a bad apple, right? You got a barrel of good apples. You got a bad apple. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this, toss it in the barrel of good apples, so that the good apples can turn the bad apple good. Well, I was, you know, you wonder if those old expressions are wives' tales or not. And so I looked it up. The expression, a rotten apple spoils the whole barrel. And so this is a study from McGill University. It's not just an old adage. It's a scientific fact. And it all has to do with ethylene, a gas produced internally by the fruit to stimulate ripening. Ethylene is a plant hormone. Our word hormone comes from the Greek hormon, which means to set in motion. And that's just what ethylene does. It sets in motion a large number of enzymatic processes that are in general responsible for ripening. An increase in ethylene concentration enhances tissue respiration, which is the process of producing energy to drive biochemical processes. And I'm just pretending to know what all this means. Through the reaction of stored sugar with oxygen, these reactions lead to breakdown of green pigment chlorophyll and the synthesis of other pigments. Starch is converted to simple sugars, and at the same time, pectin, a type of fiber that cements cell walls together, begins to disintegrate, softening the tissues. Rotting is just the end stage of ripening. With more and more ethylene being released into the surrounding air, this stimulates the ripening of nearby fruit, setting off a sort of chain reaction that results in the spoilage of the whole barrel. When you think about it, if somebody's like very, very sick, right? If somebody comes in the side door and they're coughing and hacking, I'm like, hey, sit in the middle of that section. Look at them. They look healthy. Look at them. They're smiling. None of them are like, not a lot of coughing, not a lot of blowing. You go sit in the middle of them so that their health can transfer to you. And then let me have all of you kind of pack in. And you say, that's not how it works. Oh, it doesn't? And it's not how it works with the person that's spiritually living a life that's set against the things of God. But by the way, what do we do for that person? We say, hey, we want to help you. There are people trained. There are specialized people that can help you. Let's let those people that have special training help you. And then it might be some faithful wounds that say, hey, listen, you've got to change this, and you've got to take this, and you can't do this. Can't! You're not my friend. And again, you have the, well, my heart goes out to the underdog. I'm going to go and tell them why those people that are trying to help them, they just don't understand them. Again, we can see it so clearly when it comes to medical things. But sometimes we don't see it all that clearly when it comes to life, walking with wise men. In the Bible, there was a man, Amnon. He kind of fell in love with a girl. It's in 2 Samuel 13. I'm not going to turn there. But Amnon, he loved, quote unquote, he was young. He didn't know the difference between love, and there was some lust there. There was some cravings. But there was some decency at first. He thought, he loved this girl, but the Bible says he thought it hard to do something to her. He was actually thinking, I want this, but what's best for her? And the Bible said, but he had a friend, Jonadab, who came on the scene and said, what's this, what's best for her garbage? You're the son of the king. The question should be, what's best for you? This friend came on, this quote-unquote friend came on the scene. And again, what did we say? The real friend, a mom that would limit you. No, you can have a Snicker bar, but you're not eating 10. Oh, well, you're not my friend. So this guy comes on the scene, but he had a friend that convinced him, and he talked him into forcing this girl. It was awful. And right away, he regretted his decision. There was a selfishness. There was a regret. And just thinking, I hurt the one that I thought I loved. And eventually, it brought about his death. Her brother later on killed him, murdered him. This friend came on the scene. The wrong type of friend says, listen. And again, Amnon was the son of King David. The friend comes on the scene and says, listen, you're the son of the king. You should have what you want. And the right type of friend would have come on the scene and said, listen, you're the son of the king. You can't just do what you want. You have to honor him. In this world, down here, there will be people that come on and say, hey, you do whatever you want. And the right type of friend will say, are you saved? Well, then you're a child of the king. You can't do whatever you want. You need to honor him. That's the real friend. And of course, we sang about the greatest friend of all, didn't we, earlier today? 354. All true friendships flow from the greatest friendship of all. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Proverbs 18:24 talks about the greatest friend of all. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. James 2:23 says that Abraham was a friend of God. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. All true friendships that are lasting and have real depth take as their pattern the friendship of God. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. And we don't even know what that means until we see how God loves us. We look at a verse that says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He's the greatest friend of any human being. Did Jesus lay down his life for us? That's what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are also saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye had believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know Jesus, the greatest friend of all, as your friend? Oh, he extends himself as your friend. Have you reached back toward him as yours in salvation? Are you living this life like he's the greatest? By the way, that wise person you want to walk around, he's the one that says, oh, my greatest friend. A Mr. Varner that would stand up and say, there's no one more precious than Jesus. And he's the greatest friend I know. Is he yours? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you. We asked you to meet with us in a special way, and I believe you did. Lord, I pray that in this room, maybe there's someone that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. Oh, Jesus, the greatest friend of all. Lord, and I pray that maybe they would come and say, listen, I need someone to introduce me to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know this greatest friend of all. Lord, maybe there's others in this room that aren't walking with wise men like they should. And maybe they're, I don't know, going and consoling that person. When a real friend, there's faithful wounds and they're being corrected. And maybe that other person comes along and, hey, I understand you. I'll be the support that you're not getting from. And I pray that maybe those people, Lord, maybe I've been guilty of that. And Lord, I need to repent of those things. Help me to be right according to the things that were taught. Fools despise instruction. And Lord, instruction was given today. Help each and every one of us to be humble before what was given from your precious word. I do pray that you'd work in this time of invitation. I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.